everybody across the land. Here's a special from Sequel Cast, though I don't know what it's gonna be about. Maybe Woody Allen, maybe Spike Lee, maybe Technicolor, maybe 3D, or maybe you just gotta wait and see. 'Cause you're gonna find out after this theme. This Sequel Cast special is a go. This Sequel Cast special is a go. What's it gonna be about? What's it gonna be about? What's it gonna be about? Who knows?
Hello and welcome to the Sequel Cast Special. The Sequel Cast Special is a show that looks at movie topics in a broader scope, sometimes having to do with sequels or franchises. We have a website at sequelcast.com, where you can check out the Facebook page at facebook.com/sequelcast. And you can subscribe to the Sequel Cast Special and all the Sequel Cast shows if you use Stitcher, an app that lets you listen to podcast streaming. And if you sign up at stitcher.com/sequelcast, you have a chance to win $100. So, I'm Matt. With me is Thrasher.
Hi, everybody.
And on this Sequel Cast special, we're taking a look at movies and cartoons and things based on DC Comics. We did one on Marvel Comics a little bit ago.
We've got to give the other titan in the comic book publishing world its due.
Exactly. And listeners of the Sequel Cast might recall a year or two... I think maybe... over a year ago, we did Sequel Cast episodes on the 80s and 90s Batman films. You can check those out at sequelcast.com. But here in Sequel Cast Special, we're looking at things from a broader scope. We're looking at movies based on DC Comics.
And there have been quite a few.
But not nearly as many as Marvel.
Well, that's... well, not now. With everything Marvel has put out in the past few years and all the direct-to-DVD films they've been doing, I believe Marvel is eclipsing, or has eclipsed, films based on their comics. They've now eclipsed DC. But for a while, DC pretty much had a monopoly. When we did the Marvel movie special, I talked about the Mighty Marvel movie curse. For the longest time, you just could not bring a Marvel comic book to the screen, and if you did, you could not bring it there well up until Blade was finally released. But DC has always had a much better track record of bringing their comics to the screen.
At the time, but now it's sort of the other way around, I think.
Oh, but we'll get
except
to that.
For,
I'm sure
for Batman.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, so, we'll get to that. We have quite a lot to talk about on this.
Are we doing
special.
This chronologically, or are we just going to kind of stream of consciousness this?
We can do a stream of consciousness. We can do chronologically. That's okay. And look at this chronological list, which you have a copy of, Thrasher, right?
Yep, I've got a copy of the list that that we're both looking at. But I've also got with me a wonderful book, DC Comics, 60 Years of the World's Favorite Comic Book Heroes. It's a history of DC Comics by Les Daniels. It's a great book. It's a bit out of date now because this came out the towards the end of the 90s, so it doesn't have anything that's happened in the past 15 years in it. But it's up until that point, it is an incredibly complete history of DC Comics and its characters.
Now, you might have mentioned this back when we did the Sequel Cast special on the Marvel movie specials. Didn't you say you prefer DC Comics to Marvel Comics?
Well, generally speaking, when it comes down to it, I enjoy reading Marvel comic books, but when it comes down to the characters, I prefer the DC characters. It's kind of a weird thing. I like Marvel for their comics and their stories. I like DC for their characters and their universe. It's just for whatever reason, that's the criteria my mind kind of uses for these movies.
Yeah, I would say I've read more Marvel comics than DC as a whole. I don't read as much as I used to of comics, but I did recently dip into a few of the early issues of the Batman Nightfall run.
Oh, yeah?
And I thought that was much more enjoyable than the Superman return, or not Death of Superman, I'm sorry, the Death of Superman run of comics.
Well, I mean, Death of Superman, the Death of Superman run of comics wasn't supposed to be the big event that it turned into. It was supposed to be another one of those let's temporarily kill off our hero story arcs that both Marvel and DC very often do. It just so happens that because it involves Superman dying, for whatever reason, that time it caught the world's attention and people started giving a damn, and it kind of got all this sort of pressure kind of appeared behind it. But it was never supposed to be a great story. It was supposed to be just a thrilling a story arc that would end with his temporary death. And that's the other thing that kind of drove me nuts, both when Superman died, but also when he got his electricity powers in the comics. You can tell the people reporting on this don't understand comic books, because they don't seem to understand that in comic books, anytime anyone dies or undergoes a significant character change, within a year or two, everything will be back to normal in the way it was before, and no one will have died. It's always temporary.
Right. I mean, not only in comics have there been reboots of entire series, but you have alternate dimensions. You have stories like What If, where stuff doesn't really count.
Imaginary stories.
Yeah, exactly.
Tangent universes, fractal universes.
We're here supposed to be talking about the movies and direct-to-video things and TV
people
shows based
need
on
this
DC
background
comics.
Okay, to understand the source material and to understand the movies based on the source material.
Well, I'll just talk about stuff that jumps out to me on this list. The Superman Christopher Reeve films, those being Superman, Superman 2, Superman 3, and Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
Which we need to review at some point.
Certainly,
in
more detail on the sequel cast, sure. Christopher Reeve is just so iconic of the character. In a way, he's even was made more iconic, I think, after his accident in the, in the 90s, right?
Yes.
Where Christopher Reeve became paralyzed and fought the rest of his life. He still did a few minor acting parts and things, but he fought looking into stem cell research and all these things to see what he could do with not just himself, but for everyone with paralysis. And that makes that he was Superman, the man, you know, he played a character, a superhero that can do anything that's supposed to save the world. I think just that makes it really moving, even more in retrospect.
It's one of those things where reality becomes deliciously ironic. And poetic when compared to the fiction.
Did you enjoy those films overall?
I loved the original Superman. I love Superman 2. Up until the Avengers, Superman 2 really was the greatest depiction of superheroes and villains on film. Superman 3, what the hell is all this? What the hell is this nonsense? Superman 4, really? Really? Because for those of you who don't know, Superman 3, originally the main villain in Superman 3 was supposed to be Brainiac, the super genius supercomputer. And for a number of reasons, as it was developed, it became a vehicle for Richard Pryor. So instead of the villain being Brainiac, it was Richard Pryor, who's for whatever reason is a genius computer hacker. And there's just a tremendous amount of really broad Richard Pryor comedy. And the thing is, Richard Pryor is a comic genius, but his comedy's thoroughly inappropriate for a Superman film. It's just full of so much shtick that doesn't need to be there. It's as if someone made a Superman movie based on the opinions of a person who hated Superman comics, but has never actually seen a Superman comic. The whole film seems like a misunderstanding. Superman 4, The Quest for Peace, has two strikes against it. One, it is a Golden Globus / Canon Films. that studio made some stinkers, including Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo. I don't think they ever made a movie that wasn't thoroughly cheesy and ham-fisted. But the other thing about that movie is that it thoroughly squanders a brilliant premise. The brilliant premise being Superman decides that that the Earth is under threat of mutually assured destruction. So Superman goes around the world disarming all nations with nuclear weapons capability. And that in itself, you could do a brilliant story about power and responsibility and the Cold War and human nature and things like that. But instead, it's just the movie is just so soft and toothless when it could be an amazing when that premise really almost dictates that it should be an amazing and deep film.
Superman 4, I always feel bad for it because they're trying to return to Superman 1 and 2 by having Lois Lane back in it for most of the picture, by having Gene Hackman again as Lex Luthor.
It's a great cast, it's just the story is so weak.
And reportedly Christopher Reeve is one of the main people behind that story. He wanted a big... I think the idea is okay, but you have him fight Nuclear Man, you fight kind of a weird... evil version of himself, and
that's actually I think the biggest problem is that Superman's been around longer than any other superhero. He is the first modern superhero, and he has a huge rogues gallery of villains. But after Superman 2, which features General Zod, they forget about all these other characters and just stick with Lex Luthor, creepy billionaires. And when they finally, in Superman 4, when they're finally going to have him fight another superpowered being, they don't dig through the comics and bring up one of his awesome foes, like Brainiac or Conduit or any other character he can really go toe-to-toe with. They make up this bullshit Nuclear Man.
Yeah.
Who doesn't even look good.
No, he doesn't. And you have such a big rogues gallery, and that's what you do.
He looks like a supervillain designed by someone who has absolute contempt for comic books.
So what did you think several years later in 2006 when Superman Returns came out?
You know, I did not see it.
Really?
The thing is, it's one of those things, like, I love the Superman character so much and had been burned so badly with Superman 3 and Superman 4. I was hesitant to see it. And then my friend Josh Broussard, whose opinion on film I respect and trust, he did see it. Let me put it this way. All the people that I know who really know Superman and who really get Superman did not like the film. And I trusted their opinion, and I took that as a warning, so I stayed away from it.
You know, I think some of the cast in Superman Returns is pretty strong. I think Brandon Routh that really looks the part pretty well.
No, he did. I think he was the right choice.
Going with an unknown, kind of like Christopher Reeve was at the time. And Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor is another inspired choice. The movie is almost more like a soap opera. You had very little action in it until the end, and a lot of the plot is kind of the same as the original Superman, and that Lex Luthor wants to be involved in real estate on a really big scale. And yeah, I don't know, it just didn't, the story needs a real spark to it or something to get you cared. And I just thought it was really boring. But I haven't seen it. I'd be interested to revisit that when we eventually cover Superman on the sequel cast.
If you don't want me interjecting, what I think it is that a good Superman story, Superman at his core, is like a Greek myth. And I don't think a lot of the modern screenwriters and directors that get involved with Superman projects understand Greek myth.
That could be. He's a very difficult character, and that in the wrong hands, Superman can become very uninteresting. He's not dark. He's not brooding, but
which is one of the things I like about him.
Right, but then how do you portray that on screen without it being cheesy? I wonder...
You do the first two Superman films, yeah. And you do the 1990s animated series, which is probably my overall favorite depiction of Superman.
It really makes me wonder what we'll see in June of 2013 when Man of Steel comes out. The newest Superman movie directed by Zack Snyder, director of Watchmen and 300.
That trailer makes me so nervous.
I thought the trailer was visually very pretty. I mean, it's very little to go on, though.
It looks good. It looks like a good trailer for a good movie. But the moment I see that it's Superman and the moment I see that it's Jack Snyder, I just see two flavors that aren't going to mix.
We'll have to see when it comes out. I'm
very true.
Here, you know, Superman, they haven't got him right on the big screen in a long time. So
since 1980.
Yep, for Superman 2. Did you ever see any of the Swamp Thing movies?
Yes, I did.
And I never have.
Pardon?
I never have.
I love them. I mean, the first one is very true to Swamp Thing. It's very dark. It's very atmospheric. It's very much like the original. It's a nice hybrid of the original House of Mystery Swamp Thing and the Alan Moore Swamp Thing of the 80s. It is well worth seeing. There are some limitations just caused by the special effects technology available at the time, but really it's made like an independent movie, and it just takes so much advantage over actually being filmed in a real swamp. The second Swamp Thing is vastly entertaining, but you have to kind of pretend it's not a Swamp Thing movie because it's pretty much a comedy. Because it was made at a time when a lot of comics were being branded as rebranded and turned into children's toys and animated series and whatnot. So the second Swamp Thing movie was made, the Return of the Swamp Thing was made around the time of Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters. It was made while they were trying to develop a kid-friendly Swamp Thing animated series. So as a result, the movie itself is very slapstick, very pseudo kid-friendly. That being said, some of the comedy is actually really, really good. There's this wonderful scene where these two mercenaries are comparing scars to see who's more badass. And the more scars they show off, the lamer the origin story for the scar, but the more passionate they feel about it.
Hmm.
It's a scene that I really, really like.
And it should be noted, the first Swamp Thing movie is written and directed by Wes Craven.
Yeah.
Who did the original Nightmare on Elm Street film.
And you can tell. I mean, it's Craven at his best.
Huh. No, that'd be an interesting one to cover, I think. They also did a TV series of Swamp Thing, right?
Yeah, there's an animated series and there was a live-action series. The live-action series, much darker, much truer to the Alan Moore version of Swamp Thing.
I think that's the thing that kept me from getting into Swamp Things in the comics is... There was a time when I read a lot of Alan Moore comics that were written, of course, you know, by Alan Moore. And yeah. I thought, I really want to check out the first trade paperback, and I just could never find it at a bookstore. But I think what I might check now is with the DC Comic apps on the iPhone, they have a lot of back catalog issues for like $1 an issue, which I think is a really reasonable price. But I'm not sure if they got those Swamp Things that Alan Moore did or not.
Well, I suggest find your local comic shop and see if they can special order it for you.
Mm.
If you've got a decent comic shop, that should be no trouble. And they may even have it with their back issues and with their graphic novels.
It could be. I haven't gone looking specifically for it in a while, so that could be a fun thing to check out, because I've heard he did a pretty good run on the comic, yeah?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, when people now talk about Swamp Thing, they're talking about his run on Swamp Thing. And he did some pretty twisted, subversive stuff I really like.
Gotcha.
Hey, want a spoiler?
About the Swamp Thing comic?
Yeah, about one of the twisted things that Alan Moore did.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. That's fine.
It's a revelation you probably want to read.
Okay. Well.
All I'm going to say is when the demon Etrigan takes Swamp Thing into hell, you'll learn something mind-blowingly amazing about Swamp Thing.
Okay.
It's just kind of brilliant screw with the character thing that I love. That doesn't fundamentally change the nature of the character.
So I'll be on the lookout for something about Swamp Thing in hell.
Yep.
When I get to reading those Alan Moore comics, very cool. I'm looking more about this list, you know, mainly the DC comic stuff they've done for the movies has been Superman and Batman.
Well, they're the big two. They're the world's finest.
In between that, you got stuff like Steel,
mm-hmm.
Catwoman, those are Superman and Batman spinoffs. basically.
That have nothing to do with Superman or Batman. That's always the weirdest thing. Like that's one edge that Marvel really has with their movies, is that their movies can interlink in interesting ways, and characters can hop between movies. DC has never been able to pull that off, possibly because of character and movie rights, and which you think would be a problem because it's all Warner, AOL, Time Warner.
Yeah.
But like when they did Steel and when they did Catwoman, Superman and Batman have nothing to do with those movies. They don't get a cameo. They don't show up. And it would be so easy to kind of like, you think it would be so easy to work that in since the filmmakers have the rights to the characters.
Right.
But instead, they really weaken these characters by separating them from the rest of the DC universe.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And you know, that Marvel with the Avengers in particular was so phenomenally successful that what I've been hearing is Warner Brothers is trying to develop Justice League to be the next big superhero movie coming out after Man of Steel.
Yep.
But, you know, they haven't... I think they're still trying to work on getting a script down, but they want to bust that out. So in a way, it'll be sort of the reverse of what Marvel did. Instead of having all these separate one-shot movies where it all kind of comes together and you see all these members of the team, you know, from these different films combining into one big thing, it'll be a film with a lot of characters people might not recognize, and they'll get standalone films later, or at least that's what the plan will be. So, I mean, we'll see what actually happens. I'll be curious to see what they do.
Actually, I gotta say, the character of Steel was a character that showed up in The Rise of the Superman. After Superman
yep.
died, he was a street-level hero who built a set of powered armor and became and basically was one of the four Superman inspired heroes that picked up the slack while Superman spent his year dead. And he's a really cool character. He wears this sort of this steel plated Superman suit, lets him fly, gives him super strength. He has a giant hammer he can smash through all sorts of stuff. He was created by writer Louise Simonson and artist John Bogdanova. I've had the pleasure of meeting Louise Simonson twice, and she's a wonderful woman, a wonderful comic book writer. Her husband Walter Simonson, an amazing comic book illustrator, has done a lot of Michael Moorcock comics. But she wanted to have a bigger hand in the Steel movie, but she pretty much didn't have much to deal with it. Although she does smile every time she gets a character payment royalty check, whenever the film gets rebroadcast on cable.
So in the movie, he's played by Shaq, right?
Yep, Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah.
Who's not a bad choice, although in my mind, I would probably rather see Lawrence Fishburne as Steel. If he were to get recast, you know.
Or you could do Michael Clark Duncan.
I don't think Clark Duncan has the attitude or the body type.
Mm. So we were talking about on Twitter recently, Thrasher, about Batman and the new Chris Nolan Batman trilogy of Batman Begins, Dark Knight, and Dark Knight Rises. And you admitted that the only one of those that you've seen is Dark Knight Rises?
Yep, only seen the final one of the trilogy. Loved it.
Is there a reason for that? I just found that surprising, that's all.
The reason for that is when Christopher Nolan did his first Batman film, by that point in my life, I was completely burned out on Batman. I was tired of seeing Batman. I was tired of hearing Batman. I was tired of Batman getting what I felt was unearned praise. And when I say unearned praise, Batman is an amazing character. He's one of the... He's one of the pivotal characters of modern American mythology. That being said, because he's so well known and has so many fans, there's lots of people who love Batman but don't know why they love Batman. They don't know why he's an important character. And unfortunately, I went to college with lots of those people, and I just was just so inundated with Batman this, Batman that, that I just didn't want to see Batman ever. I didn't want to see anything Batman related ever again. By the time the first Nolan movie came out, so I just avoided it. I tuned it out. I had been so, you know, just hearing so much about Batman and being so burned by the last two Batman films, my expectations were so low, I just didn't even bother. Now, in hindsight, that was foolish. These are apparently wonderful films, and I do intend to see them at some point. I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
Right. And there's a chance we could cover the Christopher Nolan Batman films in the future on Sequel Cast, too. That's always a possibility. You know, I had a lot of hype going into Watchmen when that came out as a movie in 2009.
Oh, yes.
And a friend of mine lent me the graphic novel of Watchmen when I was in high school.
Cool.
And then I bought a copy of it finally when the movie came out just to reread it before watching the movie. And it's, have you seen it?
I have not seen it, but that's because I do not like that director.
Okay. I think in a lot of ways it's very, very close to the comic, but in some ways almost too close. And they're encumbered that you're trying to fit so much of a story into a 2.5 hour film of this, like, one of the most dense comics of all time.
Well, like looking at the Watchmen source material, I almost feel it would be better suited to be like an HBO series on the scale of Game of Thrones.
Right, yeah.
Like, it would really... That's a format we need to see superheroes done in. We need to see superheroes done as these tight television series.
Pretty neat. Yeah, it's difficult with comics when you get these stories that go on for a long time, and then you're trying to smush it into like a 1 hour direct to video animated film.
Oh yeah,
it just never quite works out. I did not get a chance to see Jonah Hex.
I did.
Yeah? You saw Jonah Hex, but not Batman Begins. Okay.
I didn't see it because I wanted to see it. I had Jonah Hex inflicted upon me by a moron.
Jersey Jason, you mean?
I probably should. I have no idea if this guy even listens to the podcast.
Yeah.
If he does, I am terribly sorry. If he doesn't... But here's the deal. Jonah Hex is an amazing character. He's disfigured. He's an ex-Confederate disfigured gunslinger who does bounty hunting jobs in the Old West. And I've read the original run of the comics. They are awesome comics. That being said, this movie has absolutely nothing to do with the source material. He's just an ugly motherfucker who can talk to the dead. They felt they had to give him a goddamn magic power to make this movie interesting. And then the villain, steampunk Confederates with a jumbo cannon that fires exploding chain reaction cannonballs. It is just fucked up. When people talk about comic book bullshit, this is what they're talking about. I almost feel like it has contempt for the source material. They felt like, because it's based on the comic book, it had to be big and over the top. But the strength of Jonah Hex is that he's a very down-to-earth character that only very rarely ever goes into sort of a bizarre, weird West area.
I'm curious to watch it just to see how bad it is.
That being said, the casting was brilliant. Everything else... You know, that seems to be a running theme with these DC movies. The
brilliant
worst
casting.
DC movies seem to have the best casting.
Yeah, Green Lantern is one I haven't seen because I know nothing about the comic. I know the source material of the Green Lantern comics is very dense, and for whatever reason, it scared me off the movie, especially when it got sort of middling reviews. But is that one worth my time, or have you seen that one?
I'm going to say probably not. I'm a tremendous Green Lantern fan, both the Hal Jordan Green Lantern, the Kyle Rayner Green Lantern. And to a certain extent, the John Stewart Green Lantern and the Alan Scott Green Lantern. The real flaw... One thing that I like about the Green Lantern movie is that it pretty much uses all of the Green Lantern mythology. It just lets that mythology hit you like a freight train and it keeps on coming, which I thought was cool. In that aspect, they don't dumb it down or try to make it more palatable for the mainstream audience that doesn't actually exist. The downside is the film doesn't take its own source material seriously. The Green Lantern, this film's version of Hal Jordan is an asshole who keeps sort of winkingly, almost winking at the camera like, can you believe this nutty superhero stuff that's going on? I mean, everything that's wrong with the movie can be summed up by that scene that's in a trailer where he's trying to activate the Green Lantern power battery, and he says, I pledge allegiance to a lantern. that I got from an alien. Like, that attitude is carried throughout the entire film and really, really weakens it.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I'd be curious to check it out, but I'm not sure what I'd be getting myself into. So, I mean...
There's also the movie raises a number of really weird questions. Such as, since the Green Lantern rings let you travel faster than the speed of light and protect you from the vacuum of space... Why does Abin Sur die because his spaceship crashes? He doesn't even need a spaceship. And it's also established that the ring, and even in the comics and the movie, it's established that the ring has safety protocols where it can pull you out of a dangerous situation. Why didn't the ring frickin' do that? Like, the movie, it's not internally consistent with how the powers work. It suffers from a bit of that, too.
So we talked about a lot of the different theatrical live-action films based on DC Comics.
Oh, yeah.
And they've done a lot of direct-to-video animated stuff, too.
Yep.
And that's not even counting the TV series. I mean, like, especially since 2006 or so, they've DC Comics, or, Warner Brothers Animation has been pumping out these direct-to-video ones, and Marvel has, too, for that matter, I guess. But we're focusing on DC here. I need to give these more of a shot. Some of these I'm a bit confused because I haven't read the comic that it's based on of, and they just have so much source material they're going off of that it can be a bit weird. I saw one of these called a Superman Doomsday.
Oh, yeah, where appropriately enough, he fights Doomsday.
Yeah, where it's loosely based on the Death and Return of Superman storyline, but it's so truncated... And that storyline's not the greatest to begin with. But they kind of chop it up beyond all recognition, and I really was laughing my ass off at a scene in this Superman Doomsday direct-to-video cartoon where Lex Luthor has his shirt off, he's straddling Superman, Superman is in a room full of kryptonite that makes him really weak. And I believe Lex Luthor has a line like, "Who's your daddy?" or something right before he punches Superman in the face.
I believe he does say something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's I thought that was very hilarious and homoerotic, but it was not the intention. Or maybe it was the intention of the scene, I don't know. But the DVD of that has a really great feature-length documentary on the development of the Death of Superman comic.
Oh, very nice.
It has a lot of very interesting interviews with the authors and illustrators and so forth. Of that comic series.
Well, you know, I think the Superman Doomsday, what really makes the Superman Doomsday movie suffer is that it kind of exists between the Superman animated series and the Justice League animated series, which take place in the same universe and do link up to each other in a number of ways. But you could tell the movie was made when they weren't sure how the Superman franchise was going to continue. So as a result, it doesn't quite link up with the animated with Superman series, and it doesn't quite link up with the Justice League series.
And what, like, the main animated series that people really like are what, the Bruce Timm stuff, like Batman the Animated Series.
Yep.
Superman the Animated Series and Justice League.
Those are the main ones. Batman Beyond and Theta Project were also part of that. Oh, and retroactively Static Shock were also part of that that animated universe.
What was that one you said? Theta Project?
I think it was either Theta Project or Zeta Project. It was a loose spinoff of Batman Beyond.
Oh, okay. Zeta Project.
Mm-hmm.
Just one season, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it only had one season. The short version is it takes place in the same future as Batman Beyond, but it's about a military robot that develops that was sort of designed for like infiltration, sabotage, and assassination. That inexplicably develops a real intelligence and a conscience, and so escapes its creators and teams up with a young woman, and they're all on the run.
Did you ever watch much of the TV show Smallville?
I only saw a few episodes from the first and second season. I love the premise, but based on what I saw from the first and second season, I didn't like the execution. That being said, I probably would like some of the later seasons as they start bringing in more of the DC universe.
Hmm.
Like, I think it's a really good idea to do, like, Superman stories before he was Superman. But I felt it was, at least, again, the seasons that I saw, I felt it was a little bit too much Monster of the Week.
Yeah.
And not in a cool Buffy way.
Yeah, you know, I watched a little bit of that first season when it premiered on TV at the time when I was in college. And, yeah, I just found some of the cheesiness of the special effects a bit hard to swallow. But I've been told, like you said, it gets better as it goes on. I mean, one theme they're coming out with as a direct-to-video cartoon is they're taking The Dark Knight Returns and making it into two separate direct-to-video cartoons.
Huh. Interesting.
Done to look like the comic, and Peter Weller, RoboCop himself, is voicing Batman.
Huh.
So, it could be pretty interesting. I mean, that Batman The Dark Knight Returns is one of those legendary comics. And they recently did a direct-to-video cartoon based on Batman Year One.
How was that?
I haven't seen it. I remember liking the comic a good bit, but it's honestly been so long I haven't read it in a while.
Yes.
Oh, I'm just thinking that there's a lot of the TV show stuff we haven't talked about for DC Comics, hasn't there?
A tremendous amount. Mm-hmm. Everything from Super Friends up to the new Young Justice.
Not to mention the live-action Superman and Batman series.
Yep. Oh, and hell, the of course, you know, the Lois and Clark, but also the syndicated Superboy series from the 80s, which was actually really good. It's one of the few live-action superhero shows where they remember that the superhero has to fight a supervillain every episode.
Hmm.
And in which Gilbert Godfrey played an evil mad scientist.
Really?
Yeah, he was nuts.
And there was a Flash TV show as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, only had one season. But it was, they kind of figured, well, these new Dark Batman movies did so well, let's do that with the Flash. And it got developed into a TV series. Mark Hamill played his nemesis in that series.
The Trickster.
Yep.
I think it's interesting looking at this listing of stuff based on DC Comics. They also count stuff that's listed off of imprints of DC Comics.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's fair? Does that count, kind of? It says, like, Road to Perdition.
Well, generally, Paradox, you know, Press. We're kind of talking about the DC Universe, but I guess it is kind of fair, because most of those do have their source material in graphic novels.
Yeah, I remember really liking Road to Perdition when it came out, and then I understand he's done some comics since then, set in that same setting with the characters. So, oh gee, we've talked a lot about various properties based on these DC comic stuff. What is something you want to talk about that we have not touched on?
Oh, gosh. Well, actually, here's something. What would you like to see out of DC Comics brought to film in the future?
Given that I don't know that much about DC Comics, I think it would be neat to see them pull off a Wonder Woman film. That's been in development for quite some time.
A good Wonder Woman film for ages.
Yeah, that's been in development for quite some time. Joss Whedon, you know, writer and director of The Avengers, had written a script for a Wonder Woman film that never got made. So yeah, there's something I think iconic about how Wonder Woman looks, and that you look at all these superhero movies they've made, and they haven't really done any where a female superhero is the star. And but I mean, you had, like, in the 80s, you had Supergirl, which was not a big hit.
It's because it's not that good of a film.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, There's certainly a lot of different comics with female characters in them. They just haven't really been made into movies for whatever reason. And I think Wonder Woman is probably the highest profile one out there.
I still want a... this isn't, of course, DC, but I'm still hankering for a She-Hulk movie. But as far as women of the DC universe go, they could probably do a full-on Batgirl movie.
Yeah, you could. I mean, what was that TV show, Birds of Prey?
Based on that particular incarnation of Batgirl and the Huntress.
Which was only on for one season, I believe.
I believe you are correct.
Yes.
But yeah, there's a tremendous amount of source material. I guess I would love... There's two things I would love to see. I would love to see a really good Green Lantern movie from the Kyle Rayner era of Green Lantern, but I would also love to see a Batman movie that isn't about Batman, it's about one of the villains.
Interesting.
Yeah, I would take Two-Face, Mr. Freeze, the Penguin, maybe even the Joker, and just do a movie that's all about them. Like do it like a heist film or something, but I want to see a movie where the focus is squarely on the villains.
So would it almost be like a reverse Justice League?
No, because I don't want to see a bunch of villains teaming up. I want to see one or two really strong villains and their henchmen pulling off an interesting caper.
Somewhere about them using their smarts.
Well, no, just about them being villains and getting a chance to succeed before the superhero shows up.
Oh, okay.
You know, and if the superhero is going to be present at all, just make them like a weird presence that doesn't really show up until the final confrontation. Because that's the thing. That's the thing that I love about Batman is that if you're a street level crook, you know, you've got to be living in fear, because at any moment, Batman's going to come out of a shadow, and then that's the last thing you see before you wake up in handcuffs at a police precinct. I want to see a movie about those guys, and about the supervillains that they work for.
I think the kind of movie I would like to see, since I like Batman so much, is I wish they'd get a little bit crazy with this cross-pollination and go back to some of the comics they've made over the years and do like Batman versus Predator as a movie or Superman and Batman versus Alien, which is all stuff they've really done. But I just like to see that craziness of combining properties that have no business being combined on the big screen and just going for it and see what comes out of it. I don't think they'd ever do that. Maybe they'd have to do it. If they did it, they'd have to work out all the licensing issues. But B, you'd probably have to do it as a direct-to-video animated film, I think.
I don't see why it would have to be direct-to-video, but given some of the things that do end up in theaters. That might be fun to just do as a zany summer film. You know, although I guess my concern is if it's a success, then it could lead to all sorts of unnecessary film crossovers. Because then you could do RoboCop and Terminator and Batman team up to fight the girl from The Ring.
Yeah, but actually, you mentioned RoboCop and Terminator. That's actually a pretty good comic. I have a soft spot for that one.
Okay.
Written by Frank Miller. Because the RoboCop and Terminator comic takes the time travel aspect and just kind of plays it to the hilt and just goes crazy, far crazier with it than you would ever suspect.
Hey, you know, now I'm thinking about, and I may have mentioned something like this, but I really do think a lot of superhero movies would be helped by being period pieces. I would love to see a Superman movie that takes place in the 30s, 40s, or 50s.
Oh, what, just because you like the costumes?
Well, it's kind of the costumes, but also that's a pivotal period in the character's history. There's also a hell of a lot going on in the world back then. I think it would be great to do a Superman movie that takes place in the same era in which Superman was first created and rose to popularity.
Hmm. I think for Superman 2 that might work because I don't know. You know, it would help you swallow the pill of the kind of cheesiness of the character in a way.
No. The character isn't cheesy in and of itself. He's cheesy when he's not handled properly. And I don't want it to be cheesy because it's in a period. I still want it to be handled well. But I think there's sort of a... because it would be a period piece, there'd be a layer of romanticism that true might make some of the more fantastic elements appear a bit more smooth.
One Superman comic I really, really enjoyed that was a one-shot What If. It was called Superman Red Sun. And it was Superman, instead of, you know, as a baby landing in America, lands in Russia. And it's a clever inversion on the Superman mythos. And I don't think they do it as a movie, but I think it would be certainly a fresh take on the character. Like, I don't know. I'm not sure what the angle you'd have to do with Superman. And I know at one point they got very close to getting a Superman versus Batman movie made.
And I wouldn't mind seeing a movie where they teamed up. I mean, that would be pretty cool. A World's Finest movie would be totally kick-ass.
What's a World's Finest?
Oh, when Batman and Superman team up, that's traditionally called World's Finest, because they're the world's finest superheroes.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right, so we've been talking about these comics.
I like that, the way you say comics. Say comics to rhyme with scum. We've been looking at these comics. Jagged air quotes.
So we've been talking about films and direct-to-video things and TV shows all based on DC Comics on this SequelCast special. Is there one that we've talked about that you could recommend to listeners? If you could say, you've really just got to check out this one that you might not be familiar with, what would it be?
That they might not be familiar with? Well, probably Swamp Thing. That's of all the ones that we've talked about, that's probably the only one that's good but obscure.
Hmm. Yeah, I haven't seen Swamp Thing myself, and you're getting me pretty interested in it.
You definitely, and even see the second one. Just understand that it's very silly.
Okay.
But at least it's fun when it's silly.
Fun and silly is good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and actually, also, if you can find them, check out the classic Fleischer Studios Superman cartoons. The animation is amazing, the stories are classic. And also, a lot of what we know, a lot of Superman's traits actually developed. That's one of the other cool things about Superman, but a lot of the traits that we now just we accept as part of Superman were developed in the Fleischer animated Superman shorts and not in the comics.
Hmm.
In fact, his ability to fly originated in the animation. In the original comics, he could not fly. He literally leapt tall buildings. He had super jumping. But as the animated shorts went on, the Fleischer Studios thought it would be really nice to see him fly because they could animate it really fluidly and beautifully. So they gave him the ability to fly. It worked so well that showed up in the comics. Same thing happened with Kryptonite. Kryptonite did not start in the comics. Kryptonite began in the Superman radio series as Element K, a strange green rock and a meteorite that drained Superman's powers. But again, it worked so well in the radio play, it was brought into the comics.
Huh. I did not know that. That's pretty interesting. I mean, they've made those Fleischer Studios Superman cartoons available on a variety of DVDs. You can even, in those bargain bins, you even see them sometimes.
Well, I think that's because some of them are public domain.
Right.
I do not know if there's ever been a definitive collection, but there should be. That is some amazing, an amazing body of work.
In the really big box sets they've done of the Superman films, they always include the Fleischer Studios cartoons on those. And, they have had several single releases, but as far as what's definitive out of those and what has the best image quality, I have no idea. It should be noted, you know, like those were done in 1941 and 42, and then later on a company called Famous Studios did some more Superman cartoons that were not as good as the Fleischer ones, but still pretty entertaining in their own right. So, well, I think we've talked quite a lot about these movies and cartoons and TV shows based on DC Comics.
It's a tremendous body of work.
It is. And then we talked, you know, about coming out coming up in 2013. The newest one will be Man of Steel, which is another take on Superman. And that trailer is very vague, don't you think?
Well, it's one of those things where, like, I guess watching the trailer, I was intrigued and I liked it more and more and more. And then I gradually figured out, oh my gosh, this is for Superman, and I liked it even more and even more and even more. And then when it finally is revealed that it's Superman, for some reason I crashed. I don't know if it was because I figured out who the director was, or if I didn't like, or if I started noticing, well, wait a minute, if this is Smallville, why is there a rocky coastline? Or just like, you know, I don't, can't you just be clean shaven? What's this hitchhiking bullshit? I don't know. I'll give it a shot, but I feel like I'm going to have my heart broken again.
You know, I'm really intrigued by some of the casting. I'm not familiar with Henry Cavill, who plays, you know, Clark Kent in Superman. But I think, you know, Amy Adams as Lois Lane is interesting, especially Kevin Costner as Jonathan Kent. And Lawrence Fishburne as Perry White could be neat.
That could be pretty cool.
You got Russell Crowe as Jor-El. And some other interesting names in the cast. I hope it does well, because I like to see Superman succeed, and I feel bad that his movies haven't been the greatest in quite some time.
Any idea who the villain's going to be?
They've announced it online, but they haven't said in the trailer.
Because I know there was lots of talk that they were going to go straight into the General Zod storyline, but I have no idea if that's actually what's going to happen or not.
Yes, that's true. It's going to be General Zod. But as far as the specifics as what the story is going to be with him and stuff, and how much of this movie, the thing I always wonder is when they relaunch these things, how much of the movie is going to be about the origin?
True.
And with Superman, there's a lot of origin, and a lot of that very first Superman movie, maybe like the first hour, I don't know, 45 minutes.
Well, the thing is, it's an origin story. That yeah. I would assume everybody knows, so I don't see why you couldn't just jump into it in media res. That being said, you could still tell a decent, you know, Superman's origin story, unlike Batman, is not one which has been told to death, even with Smallville.
Right.
So it's something that you could explore and bring an interesting new angle to.
Yeah, I think they got a lot of work cut out for them, so I'll be very curious to see how it turns out. I'm excited. For some reason, I thought it was coming out like this Christmas in 2012, but it doesn't come out until June 2013. So, hope you enjoyed the sequel cast special on movies and TV shows based on DC Comics. Next time on Sequel Cast Special, we'll talk about something else because we haven't decided yet.
That's just too distant in our future.
Exactly. So, for the Sequel Cast special, this is Matt.
And this is Thrasher.
Saying, check out our website at sequelcast.com or go to facebook.com/sequelcast. And as Superman would say, up, up, and away.
I'm not sure if he himself ever said that. That was using the narrator's job. But I do know Perry White used to say, "Great Caesar's ghost!"
Man, wasn't Perry White great on Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman?
Pretty decent.
I like that actor that played him in that show.
Yeah, I guess that show had good, like everything else we've talked about, good casting, story not so great.
I like the theme song. I think it's tricky when you do a piece of music and the movie has the John Williams music and you're not using that.
Mm.
But it's still a catchy melody.
Yeah.
All right. Good night.
Good night, man.